It's a brand new day. It's a brand new month, the first day of June, and we're back at it. As far as CCO's Car Care Show, welcome to it. Let me introduce you to ASC Certified Technician Nick Stoffel, who runs a great place called Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Hey, Nick, good morning.
Good morning, Denny.
Hey, tomorrow's Grand Old Day. I bet you folks will be strolling by Lloyd's tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon, whatever the case may be.
It will be a very avenue tomorrow, I'm sure of that.
A busy one, yeah. Great avenue, though. Lots to do there. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But in the meantime, if you have any problems with your car, your truck, your van, and you want to know what could be ailing before you bring it in for service, this is the place you want to talk to Nick, either by phone or by text. We're already getting text messages, but you can give us a call if you like. Just one number will get you either a phone call or a text. 651-461-9226. There's a couple of questions, I presume, because we're seeing a lot of these cottonwood seeds flying around these days. Listeners, a couple of them, want to know about cleaning radiators, and we talk about that once in a while. Can they do it yourself or do that, or is it safer or better to bring it to your shop to get it cleaned? And how often should you do that?
I think it's worth an effort for a do-it-yourselfer. You know, you're just using maybe a garden hose, nothing. No, don't use a pressure washer. Can't like that. You don't want to cut or tear anything. So I think if you open the hood or in front of the radiators, the grill area of the vehicle, if you can have access in the hood or the debris kind of collected on the front of the condenser or the radiator, you can try rinsing that off. If you're starting to have some issues with the running temperature of the vehicle or the quality of the air conditioning, you might need to bring it in because sometimes we actually have to partially remove those items to gain access to be able to clean out in between. So that I probably wouldn't do it as a do-it-yourselfer, but the simple garden hose and rinsing things down I think is fair.
Okay, very good. Yeah, a lot of those cotton balls flying around. Texter says this, Nick, I own a 2021 Toyota Hybrid Highlander. While driving, I use the cruise control often. However, when I brake, coming up to a stop sign, if I don't put continuous hard pressure on the brakes, it lunges forward and accelerates again, even though the car has already been braked. Did you think this is a sensor, or what problem could I bring to my shop?
Well, that definitely needs to be looked at. You know, by design, when you touch the brake pedal in any capacity, it should disconnect the cruise control. If it doesn't, you know, that could be a risk and be very dangerous. So I would probably not use the cruise control for the next foreseeable time until you get that in and get it looked at. So that's a priority that needs to be looked at very, very soon.
Safety issue, no doubt. Let's see, a listener says, I texted last week about a 67 Ford pickup that was jumping when backing up your suggestion to slip the clutch to clean it. It worked great, by the way. Thank you. Do you remember that at all, that question?
I do. It's you know, if you get old enough and you've been around a few things long enough and you get an old vehicle that hasn't been used much, I mean, same kind of goes for brakes, you know. I want people to be careful first and foremost, but if your car's been sitting for a really long period of time and you kind of have this maybe a bit of a scraping noise when you start to move the vehicle, obviously get out, walk around, look, do your diligence. But sometimes just going down the block and dragging the brakes just a little bit will help clean that corrosion off and you'll be solved your problem.
I want to remind our listeners that Nick will be with us for just about another half hour. Our time goes by so quickly. So if you do have a question in mind, don't wait. We'd love to hear from you sooner rather than later, as we like to say. 651-461-9226. You can send a text or you can call. We'd love to hear your voice with with Nick if you prefer. Otherwise, a lot of folks like the ease of a text question. Let's see. Here's another one we get quite often, we talk about quite often over the years. Texter says this, I'm looking at buying a used car from a private seller. Does Lloyd's perform used car inspections, and what systems do you inspect? That comes from Ralph in Woodbury. Yeah, we talk about that a lot. Give us the lowdown of what exactly happens there at Lloyd's.
We do talk about this question often, and I think it's very critical. If you're ever buying any used vehicle, you should have your technician, mechanic, dealership, whomever, give it a once-over. If the person selling the vehicle is hesitant to having you do that, that might lead to some suspicion that maybe there's something they don't want you to be aware of. So typically the vehicle comes in, and I just want to make the statement for anyone doing a used vehicle inspection, there's something they don't want you to be aware of. So typically the vehicle comes in, and I just want to make the statement for anyone doing a used vehicle inspection, it is an inspection. There's no implied warranty or any kind of guarantee, but our purpose is to get it up in the air, check all the systems, you know, steering, suspension, brakes, to the best of the capacity, the quality of the air conditioning, the heating. You know, we don't really disassemble a whole lot, you know, because it's usually done within an hour's time, but we try to put a finger on as many things as we can to at least make you aware of the overall maintenance of the vehicle so you can know what you're looking at going forward. You know, what do I have coming up soon? What are the brakes like? What are some of these other items like? And so you can kind of budget for that or negotiate in the price. Or if we see something that's a little more catastrophic, that's maybe an alarm to us, we want to share that with you so you can go back to the seller, have that conversation, and see if it's the right vehicle for you.
Yeah, a lot more peace of mind there when you do that. Nick, hang on. We're going to take a quick break. Again, inviting our listeners to join in. If you have any kind of a car care question, now is your chance to get some free advice from Nick Stauffer from Lloyd's Automotive, 651-461-9226. Right now in the Twin Cities, we're at 62 degrees. We're heading to near 78. There are chances of showers and thunderstorms before noon. Things at least gradual clearing a little bit later. Right now, 62 on 830 WCCO. And welcome back on this Saturday morning, 1st of June. More car care talk, and we welcome your phone calls or text messages for Nick Stauffer, ASE certified technician at Lloyd's Automotive. Which, Nick, is located where? How do we find you guys?
Absolutely. As you know, it'll be a busy avenue tomorrow on Granville Day, but during the regular work week, you can swing and say hi when we're there. We're at 982 Grand, which is on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth, two blocks east of Lexington Parkway. If you ever have a question or need some advice, don't hesitate to call 651-228-1316. And as always, check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
We'll do that very thing, Nick, and we'll give you that information when Nick leaves us, which is close to 7:45 this morning. Call us or text us. Any kind of a car problem, truck problem, van, you can get an answer here at 651-461-9226. Here's not to throw you a tough one, but this, to me, would be very frustrating if I was a technician. 2015 Silverado, almost 100,000 miles on it. A very reproducible low-frequency rumble with a slight vibration at 63 to 65 miles an hour. The tires were rotated and balanced, no change. There were new tires, no change. Mechanic looked it over top to bottom, couldn't find anything. Took it to a transmission shop. They diagnosed the torque converter was starting to go, so I got a new torque converter and transmission rebuild. Still did it. Took the drive shafts out. Had both of them balanced. They looked everything over, the steering, the suspension, didn't find anything. It still does it. Do you have any ideas?
You know, it's what's tough is usually a vibration is some sort of rotational item, right? And then it's keyed at a certain miles per hour, which makes you think, what at that frequency is creating that? You know, maybe a fresh set of eyes. You know, I'm thinking drive axles. I'm thinking drive shafts. Tires have been completely different, so we're not probably down that road. I don't think necessarily wheel bearing, but something that's rotating at a certain speed creates a certain frequency. And, you know, maybe a fresh set of eyes is my best advice. You know, unfortunately, I don't have the for sure answer here, but yeah. I'd try somebody else and just you know, keep a log, document everything, which sounds like they have, and share all that information when you go to somebody else and say, hey, here's where I've been and here's what they've done. You know, are these items that they're replacing with, are they new items or used items or remanufactured items? Because I've done this long enough where in trying to fix something, we don't always have accessibility to a new part and you end up with something that might be used or remanufactured, and then you create a different problem. So I would document everything, share it with your next effort there. And let us know how it goes going forward.
Yeah, I think that you're right. You recommend that from time to time. Get another doctor's opinion, more or less. Find another shop and get another set of eyes on it, like you suggested. Let's grab a phone call. I think Jerry calling in from Inver Grove this morning. Hi, Jerry. What is your question for Nick?
Good morning, gentlemen. I've got a 2019 Ford F-150. The backup camera works maybe half of the time. I've had that problem a couple years ago, and supposedly we did a software update, and it went away, but now it is back. Any ideas?
You know, typically those backup cameras are pretty foolproof. You know, I would say the two areas, software, you know, make sure the software's not corrupted, and then connections. You know, a lot of times those, on a truck like my own, the backup camera's in the tailgate, and you open and close that tailgate a lot. So there's a pivot point there where maybe a connection's kind of getting loose or corroded in some manner that might be affecting the quality of the workmanship or the how well that camera's working. So I would maybe check again, see if there's, you know, you can redo the software, number one. And number two, have them check all those connections to see if something's gone wrong there.
All right, very good. 651-461-9226. Thank you, Jerry. 651-461-9226 for a phone call or your text question. Here is another text, Nick. I have a 2001 Toyota Corolla, listener says, when the engine is cold, it always starts the first time I turn the key. But when the engine is warmed up, it takes several attempts before it starts. What causes that, they ask?
You know, if a car engine's not starting properly, typically we think it's something to do with the air-fuel mixture or the spark timing. The fact you have to trap it several times makes it almost seem like you're priming it, right? You know, so you're trying to start it up, you're getting the fuel in there, it's not firing, you try it a second time, and then things are kind of all in the right order at that point. So I'd be careful with that. If that's that's something that, you know, if we have a fuel pump or a fuel injector or something that might be starting to fail on us, you don't want it to go where it just completely fails where the car doesn't start. So I'd probably get on somebody's schedule somewhere, have them, you know, write it down. Once again, I'm always big on sharing documented information and confirming the problem so you can take it in. They can experience what you have experienced and maybe have a few test equipment on there and be able to determine what's going on.
Okay. Looking at a text from another listener, Nick, it says this: I had a question a couple of weeks ago about a 2003 F-150. The solenoid on the starter would not turn off. They say I found that by disconnecting the plug-in for the alternator that does the trick in the solenoid will not keep running. Would that mean that the alternator needs to be replaced? What do you think?
I'm not sure of that because typically the power to the solenoid of the starter is coming through the ignition system. You know, when you turn the key or push the button to start the vehicle, you're sending a signal to the computer, and the computer sends the power to the starter to engage the solenoid. I'm not sure how the back feeding through the alternator would create that. If you disconnect that, you're taking the power away. Yeah, that's true. But the power itself shouldn't gain access without permission, I guess you could say. So without the ignition switch or the computer telling it that, I'm not sure how that would affect it.
Okay. Tell you what let's do. Let's take a break for that forecast. Remind listeners that Nick will be with us for about another 15 minutes from here. So don't wait. Any kind of a car care question, we'd love to hear from you, either by phone or by text. 651-461-9226. Just a reminder, coming along in the 8 o'clock hour after Jack Farrell's Wine Chat, we'll have our Smart Garden Show this morning. Julie Weisenhorn from the U of M will be joined by our turf guru from the U of M, John Trappi. So Julie and John will be answering. Yeah, if you have any kind of lawn question, this is the guy you want to chat with or send a text to, along with Julie's experience as well. So that's the 8 o'clock hour on a Smart Garden Show, Julie and John, here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASC certified technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, we have questions to throw at you yet before, and I know our time is limited. So let's see how many folks we can help. Good morning, Denny and Nick. Texas says, I have a 2012 Ford Fusion SEL with a four-cylinder engine. About 2 weeks ago, Car started to shudder when I stepped on the brakes. What do you think is happening, and how quickly do you think I need to get it fixed? That comes from Marty.
You know, with most things, when we have a problem with our vehicle, and it always starts when we do something. This example, applying the brakes, leads me to first think it's something related to the brakes. Likely what has happened is that the brake rotors have become warped. They're no longer flat, so as you're slowing down the vehicle by applying the brakes, that disc is spinning at the speed that you're driving, and you're feeling that kick back at you. So that's kind of a telltale sign that the rotors aren't happy. Likely they've overheated or become worn to a manner where they could warp. So the next time you're in for service, have them take a look at the braking system and make a recommendation based on what they see.
Yeah, good idea. Tell you what, let's grab a phone call. Cal's calling in, I do believe, this morning from Woodbury. Cal, good morning. What is your question for Nick?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I know I've never heard of this before, so and it's for a friend of mine. He was coming back from Florida. He has a 2020 Aviator with about 60,000 miles on it, and he kicked it down the pass, and all of a sudden the transmission went into neutral. So he pulled over to the side and stopped, and he shut the car off, and he sat there a while, and he started it up again. It drove again. And he drove it to Paducah and left it there for them to work on. It's been a month now, and they haven't gotten to it. But what would cause a transmission to all of a sudden go into neutral?
Obviously, it shouldn't. There's not a specific reason. When you're going to the pass lane or downshifting like you're describing, when you accelerate, if it's going from 6 to 5 or to 4 or whatever, there's some solenoids that need to operate in there to make that happen smoothly. My only guess would be something with one of those had failed. So instead of going into the proper gear, it essentially neutralized. So, I'd be curious to say when they drive the vehicle again, did all the electronics reset when we started the vehicle? Because that is possible that if it was a one-time instance where that wasn't working properly, it would reset.
Okay. Here's a question from Maggie, and I think you get this from time to time. My 2022 Jeep Renegade is under warranty. Can I receive maintenance through a local garage, or do I need to go only to a Jeep dealer for oil changes, things like that?
To keep the warranty intact, you're just required to do the maintenance. It does not have to be at the selling dealer or a franchise dealer. It's obviously that's my independent side of the business, but a lot of people don't live very close to the dealership. So you don't have to drive across town or to another town to have that service done. As long as you're performing the service as described in the maintenance schedule, your warranty is intact.
I think that was a great question. I think a lot of people have wondered that over the years. Another one here. See if we have time. Yeah, we'll try to do this. My 2023 GMC Denali pickup has 18,000 miles. Last week, the crankshaft bearings were shot. There was metal in the oil pan. It is under warranty. My question is, do you know if I can insist on a brand new engine, or I have heard that GM may send a rebuilt engine? Have you heard anything about that item?
If it's the crankshaft bearings, you're likely to get a remanufactured engine from GM, which will be fine. I wouldn't be too worried about the integrity of the quality. It'll come with a warranty as good as, or maybe even longer, mileage-wise of what was in there. It's strange to see something like that low mileage fail like that, so it's good that they're covering that, obviously. But I wouldn't be worried about the integrity of the quality. I'm sure they're not going to rebuild that motor. That's a tremendous amount of machining and work that they'll get a reman to get you back on the road.
Okay. I think we have time for one more question. Let's see. Here it is. Power steering fluid, how often should that be changed? I don't think we've ever had that question before.
It might be listed in the manual. Also, a visual inspection. If you go get a bottle of new fluid, it has a little bit of a gold tint to it or a caramel coloring to it. If it's getting very dark and discolored and very thick, it's probably due. We do see them from time to time where we see issues because the reservoir itself might have a screen in it. That screen gets restricted, which can make the power steering labor to operate. So it should be, every few years, depending on your driving style and miles and stuff. But do check the manual. It might be listed in there also.
Very good. Nick, we have to get out of here and make way for Jack Farrell's Wine Chat. For those that, of course, might be stopping by on Grand Old Day tomorrow. However, if they need some help from Lloyd's Automotive, how do we find you guys?
Yes, sir. So any questions, don't hesitate to call 651-228-1316. As you said, we're on Grand Avenue in St. Paul on the corner of, Grand and Chatsworth, which is 982 Grand. And then, as always, please check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
We'll do that as we always do, and let's get together next Saturday morning if you can.
That would be great.
All right. Thanks, Nick. See you soon there at Lloyd's. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive. Now, Jack Farrell's Wine Chat is straight ahead. Right after the 8 o'clock news break, we'll be back into another Smart Garden Show this morning. In case you missed it, Julie Weisenhorn from the U of M and our turf guru, if you have any lawn questions, John Trappi from the U of M will be answering any kind of a lawn question you may have. So Julie and John in the 8 o'clock hour here on News Talk 830 WCCO. It's a brand new day. It's a brand new month, the first day of June, and we're back at it. As far as CCO's Car Care Show, welcome to it. Let me introduce you to ASC Certified Technician Nick Stoffel, who runs a great place called Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Hey, Nick, good morning.
Good morning, Denny.
Hey, tomorrow's Grand Old Day. I bet you folks will be strolling by Lloyd's tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon, whatever the case may be.
It will be very avenue tomorrow, I'm sure of that.
A busy one, yeah. Great avenue, though. Lots to do there. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But in the meantime, if you have any problems with your car, your truck, your van, and you want to know what could be ailing before you bring it in for service, this is the place you want to talk to Nick, either by phone or by text. We're already getting text messages, but you can give us a call if you like. Just one number will get you either a phone call or a text, 651-461-9226. There's actually a couple of questions, I presume, because we're seeing a lot of these cottonwood seeds flying around these days. Listeners, a couple of them, want to know about cleaning radiators, and we talk about that once in a while. Can the do-it-yourselfer do that, or is it safer or better to bring it to your shop to get it cleaned? And how often should you do that?
I think it's worth an effort for a do-it-yourselfer. You know, you just use maybe a garden hose, nothing. No, don't use a pressure washer like that. You don't want to cut or tear anything. So I think if you open the hood or in front of the radiators, the grill area of the vehicle, if you can have access and hood or the debris is kind of collected on the front of the condenser or the radiator, you can try rinsing that off. If you're starting to have some issues with the running temperature of the vehicle or the quality of the air conditioning, you might need to bring it in because sometimes we actually have to partially remove those items to gain access to be able to clean out in between. So that I probably wouldn't do it as do-it-yourselfer, but the simple garden hose and rinsing things down I think is fair.
Okay, very good. Yeah, a lot of those cotton balls flying around. Texter says this, Nick. I own a 2021 Toyota Hybrid Highlander. While driving, I use the cruise control often. However, when I brake, coming up to a stop sign, if I don't put continuous hard pressure on the brakes, it lunges forward and accelerates again, even though the car has already been braked. Did you think this is a sensor, or what problem could I bring to my shop?
Well, that definitely needs to be looked at, you know, by design. When you touch the brake pedal in any capacity, it should disconnect the cruise control. If it doesn't, you know, it can be a risk and be very dangerous. So I would probably not use the cruise control for the next foreseeable time until you get that in and get it looked at. So that's a priority that needs to be looked at very, very soon.
Safety issue, no doubt. Let's see, a listener says, I texted last week about a 67 Ford pickup that was jumping when backing up. Your suggestion to slip the clutch to clean it. It worked great, by the way. Thank you. Do you remember that at all, that question?
I do. It's you know, if you get old enough and you've been around a few things long enough and you get an old vehicle that hasn't been used much, I mean, the same kind of goes for brakes, you know. I want people to be careful first and foremost, but if your car's been sitting for a really long period of time and you kind of have this maybe a bit of a scrapey noise when you start to move the vehicle, obviously get out, walk around, look, do your diligence. But sometimes just going down the block and dragging the brakes just a little bit will help clean that corrosion off and you'll be solved your problem.
We want to remind our listeners that Nick will be with us for just about another half hour. Our time goes by so quickly. So if you do have a question in mind, don't wait. We'd love to hear from you sooner rather than later, is the way I like to say. 651-461-9226. You can send a text or you can call. We'd love to hear your voice with with Nick if you prefer. Otherwise, a lot of folks like the ease of a text question. Let's see. Here's another one we get quite often. We talk about quite often over the years. Texter says this: I'm looking at buying a used car from a private seller. Does Lloyd's perform used car inspections? And what systems do you inspect? That comes from Ralph in Woodbury. Yeah, we talk about that a lot. Give us the lowdown of what exactly happens there at Lloyd's.
We do talk about this question often, and I think it's very critical. If you're ever buying any used vehicle, you should have your technician, mechanic, dealership, whomever, give it a once-over. If the person selling the vehicle is hesitant to having you do that, that might lead to some suspicion that maybe there's something they don't want you to be aware of. So typically the vehicle comes in, and I just want to make the statement for anyone doing a used vehicle inspection, there's something they don't want you to be aware of. So typically the vehicle comes in, and I just want to make the statement for anyone doing a used vehicle inspection, it is an inspection. There's no implied warranty or any kind of guarantee, but our purpose is to get it up in the air, check all the systems, you know, steering, suspension, brakes, to the best of the capacity, the quality of the air conditioning, the heating. You know, we don't really disassemble a whole lot, you know, because it's usually done within an hour's time, but we try to put a finger on as many things as we can to at least make you aware of the overall maintenance of the vehicle so you can know what you're looking at going forward. You know, what do I have coming up soon? What are the brakes like? What are some of these other items like? And so you can kind of budget for that or negotiate in the price. Or if we see something that's a little more catastrophic, that's maybe an alarm to us, we want to share that with you so you can go back to the seller, have that conversation, and see if it's the right vehicle for you.
Yeah, a lot more peace of mind there when you do that. Nick, hang on. We're going to take a quick break. Again, inviting our listeners to join in. If you have any kind of a car care question, now is your chance to get some free advice from Nick Stauffer from Lloyd's Automotive. 651-461-9226. Right now in the Twin Cities, we're at 62 degrees. We're heading to near 78. There are chances of showers and thunderstorms before noon. Things at least gradual clearing a little bit later. Right now, 62 on 830 WCCO. And welcome back on this Saturday morning, 1st of June, more car care talk. And we welcome your phone calls or text messages for Nick Stauffer, ASE Certified Technician at Lloyd's Automotive, which, Nick, is located where? How do we find you guys?
Absolutely. As you know, it'll be a busy avenue tomorrow on Granite Day, but during the regular work week, you can swing and say hi when we're there. We're at 982 Grand, which is on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth, two blocks east of Lexington Parkway. If you ever have a question or need some advice, don't hesitate to call 651-228-1316. And as always, check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
We'll do that very thing, Nick, and we'll give you that information when Nick leaves us, which is close to 7:45 this morning. Call us or text us. Any kind of a car problem, truck problem, van, you can get an answer here at 651-461-9226. Here's not to throw you a tough one, but this, to me, would be very frustrating if I was a technician. 2015 Silverado, almost 100,000 miles on it. A very reproducible low-frequency rumble with a slight vibration at 63 to 65 miles an hour. The tires were rotated and balanced, no change. There were new tires, no change. Mechanic looked it over top to bottom, couldn't find anything. Took it to a transmission shop. They diagnosed the torque converter was starting to go, so I got a new torque converter and transmission rebuild. Still did it. Took the drive shafts out. Had both of them balanced. They looked everything over, the steering, the suspension, didn't find anything. It still does it. Do you have any ideas?
You know, it's what's tough is usually a vibration is some sort of rotational item, right? And then it's keyed at a certain miles per hour, which makes you think, what at that frequency is creating that? You know, maybe a fresh set of eyes. You know, I'm thinking drive axles. I'm thinking drive shafts. Tires have been completely different, so we're not probably down that road. I don't think necessarily wheel bearing, but something that's rotating at a certain speed creates a certain frequency. And, you know, maybe a fresh set of eyes is my best advice. You know, I don't have unfortunately, I don't have the for sure answer here, but yeah. I'd try somebody else and just, you know, keep a log, document everything, which sounds like they have, and share all that information when you go to somebody else and say, hey, here's where I've been and here's what they've done. You know, are these items that they're replacing with, are they new items or used items or remanufactured items? Because I've done this long enough where in trying to fix something, we don't always have accessibility to a new part and you end up with something that might be used or remanufactured, and then you create a different problem. So I would document everything, share it with your next effort there, and let us know how it goes going forward.
Yeah, I think that you're right. You recommend that from time to time. Get another doctor's opinion, more or less. Find another shop and get another set of eyes on it, like you suggested. Let's grab a phone call. I think Jerry calling in from Inver Grove this morning. Hi, Jerry. What is your question for Nick?
Good morning, gentlemen. I've got a 2019 Ford F-150. The backup camera works maybe half of the time. I've had that problem a couple years ago, and supposedly we did a software update, and it went away, but now it is back. Any ideas?
You know, typically those backup cameras are pretty foolproof. You know, I would say the two areas, software, you know, make sure the software's not corrupted, and then connections. You know, a lot of times those, on a truck like my own, the backup camera's in the tailgate, and you open and close that tailgate a lot. So there's a pivot point there where maybe a connection's kind of getting loose or corroded in some manner that might be affecting the quality of the workmanship or the how well that camera's working. So I would maybe check again, see if there's, you know, you can redo the software, number one. And number two, have them check all those connections to see if something's gone wrong there.
All right, very good. 651-461-9226. Thank you, Jerry. 651-461-9226 for a phone call or your text question. Here is another text, Nick. I have a 2001 Toyota Corolla, listener says, when the engine is cold, it always starts the first time I turn the key. But when the engine is warmed up, it takes several attempts before it starts. What causes that, they ask?
You know, if a car engine's not starting properly, typically we think it's something to do with the air-fuel mixture or the spark timing. The fact you have to drive it several times makes it almost seem like you're priming it, right? You know, so you're trying to start it up, you're getting the fuel in there, it's not firing, you try it a second time, and then things are kind of all in the right order at that point. So I'd be careful with that. If that's that's something that, you know, if we have a fuel pump or a fuel injector or something that might be starting to fail on us, you don't want it to go where it just completely fails where the car doesn't start. So I'd probably get on somebody's schedule somewhere, have them, you know, write it down. Once again, I'm always big on sharing documented information and confirming the problem so you can take it in. They can experience what you have experienced and maybe have a few test equipment on there and be able to determine what's going on.
Okay. Looking at a text from another listener, Nick, it says this: I had a question a couple of weeks ago about a 2003 F-150. The solenoid on the starter would not turn off. They say I found that by disconnecting the plug-in for the alternator that does the trick in the solenoid will not keep running. Would that mean that the alternator needs to be replaced? What do you think?
I'm not sure of that because typically the power to the solenoid of the starter is coming through the ignition system. You know, when you turn the key or push the button to start the vehicle, you're sending a signal to the computer, and the computer sends the power to the starter to engage the solenoid. I'm not sure how the back feeding through the alternator would create that. If you disconnect that, you're taking the power away. Yeah, that's true. but the power itself shouldn't gain access without permission, I guess you could say. So without the ignition switch or the computer telling it that, I'm not sure how that would affect it.
Okay. Tell you what, let's do. Let's take a break for that forecast. Remind listeners that Nick will be with us for about another 15 minutes from here. So don't wait. Any kind of a car care question, we'd love to hear from you, either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. Just a reminder, coming along in the 8 o'clock hour after Jack Farrell's Wine Chat, we'll have our Smart Garden Show this morning. Julie Weisenhorn from the U of M will be joined by our turf guru from the U of M, John Trappi. So Julie and John will be answering. Yeah, if you have any kind of lawn question, this is the guy you want to chat with or send a text to, along with Julie's experience as well. So that's the 8 o'clock hour on a Smart Garden Show, Julie and John, here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASC certified technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, we have questions to throw at you yet before, and I know our time is limited. So let's see how many folks we can help. Good morning, Denny and Nick. Texas says, I have a 2012 Ford Fusion SEL with a four-cylinder engine. About 2 weeks ago, the car started to shudder when I stepped on the brakes. What do you think is happening, and how quickly do you think I need to get it fixed? That comes from Marty.
You know, with most things, when we have a problem with our vehicle, and it always starts when we do something. This example, applying the brakes, leads me to first think it's something related to the brakes. Likely what has happened is that the brake rotors have become warped. They're no longer flat, so as you're slowing down the vehicle by applying the brakes, that disc is spinning at the speed that you're driving, and you're feeling that kick back at you. So that's kind of a telltale sign that the rotors aren't happy. Likely they've overheated or become worn to a manner where they could warp. So the next time you're in for service, have them take a look at the braking system and make a recommendation based on what they see.
Yeah, good idea. Tell you what, let's grab a phone call. Cal's calling in, I do believe, this morning from Woodbury. Cal, good morning. What is your question for Nick?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I know I've never heard of this before, so and it's for a friend of mine. He was coming back from Florida. He has a 2020 Aviator with about 60,000 miles on it, and he kicked it down the pass, and all of a sudden the transmission went into neutral. So he pulled over to the side and stopped, and he shut the car off, and he sat there a while, and he started it up again. It drove again. And he drove it to Paducah and left it there for them to work on. It's been a month now, and they haven't gotten to it. But what would cause a transmission to all of a sudden go into neutral?
Obviously, it shouldn't. There's not a specific reason. When you're going to the pass lane or downshifting like you're describing, when you accelerate, if it's going from 6 to 5 or to 4 or whatever, there's some solenoids that need to operate in there to make that happen smoothly. My only guess would be something with one of those had failed, so instead of going into the proper gear, it essentially neutralized. So, I'd be curious to say, when they drive the vehicle again, did all the electronics reset when we started the vehicle? Because that is possible that if it was a one-time instance where that wasn't working properly, it would reset.
Okay. Here's a question from Maggie, and I think you get this from time to time. My 2022 Jeep Renegade is under warranty. Can I receive maintenance through a local garage, or do I need to go only to a Jeep dealer for oil changes, things like that?
To keep the warranty intact, you're just required to do the maintenance. It does not have to be at the selling dealer or a franchise dealer. You know, it's obviously that's my independent side of the business, but a lot of people don't live very close to the dealership, so you don't have to drive across town or to another town to have that service done. As long as you're performing the service as described in the maintenance schedule, your warranty is intact.
I think that was a great question. I think a lot of people have wondered that over the years. Another one here. See if we have time. Yeah, we'll try to do this. My 2023 GMC Denali pickup has 18,000 miles. Last week, the crankshaft bearings were shot. There was metal in the oil pan. It is under warranty. My question is, do you know if I can insist on a brand new engine, or I have heard that GM may send a rebuilt engine. Have you heard anything about that item?
If it's the crankshaft bearings, you're likely to get a remanufactured engine from GM, which will be fine. You know, I wouldn't be too worried about the integrity of the quality. It'll come with a warranty as good as, or maybe even longer, mileage-wise, of what was in there. It's strange to see something like that low mileage fail like that, so it's good that they're covering that, obviously. But I wouldn't be worried about the integrity of the quality. I'm sure they're not going to rebuild that motor. That's a tremendous amount of machining and work that they'll get a remand to get you back on the road.
Okay. I think we have time for one more question. Let's see. Here it is. Power steering fluid, how often should that be changed? I don't think we've ever had that question before.
It might be listed in the manual. Also, a visual inspection. You know, if you go get a bottle of new fluid, it has a little bit of a gold tint to it or a caramel coloring to it. If it's getting very dark and discolored and very thick, it's probably due. You know, we do see them from time to time where we see issues because the reservoir itself might have a screen in it. That screen gets restricted, which can make the power steering labor to operate. So it should be, you know, every few years, you know, depending on your driving style and miles and stuff. But do check the manual. It might be listed in there also.
Very good. Nick, we have to get out of here and make way for Jack Farrell's Wine Chat. For those that, of course, might be stopping by on Grand Old Day tomorrow. However, if they need some help from Lloyd's Automotive, how do we find you guys?
Yes, sir. So any questions, don't hesitate to call 651-228-1316. As you said, we're on Grand Avenue in St. Paul on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth, which is 982 Grand. And then, as always, please check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
We'll do that as we always do, and let's get together next Saturday morning if you can.
That would be great.
All right. Thanks, Nick. See you soon there at Lloyd's. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive. Now, Jack Farrell's Wine Chat is straight ahead. Right after the 8 o'clock news break, we'll be back into another Smart Garden Show this morning. In case you missed it, Julie Weisenhorn from the U of M and our turf guru, if you have any lawn questions, John Trappi from the U of M will be answering any kind of a lawn question you may have. So Julie and John in the 8 o'clock hour here on News Talk 830 WCCO.